The scripture, the second scripture, is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. When I announced this idea of, having people suggest topics for sermons, I was thinking maybe they would be easy, like five loaves and two fishes, 5,000 people. What's up with that? The problem of evil, easy things. But we've got some very interesting ones, and I hope that I can do them justice. There's one today, and then there'll be four more in August. Today, we're talking about forgiveness. And it's interesting, the way the question was couched is in big terms. Forgiving ISIS, forgiving people that are, wreaking havoc in our world. How can I forgive those people? Well, the thing is that in the scripture, the whole idea of forgiveness is a much more personal thing. In the Old Testament, it says, there's a phrase that repeats, it depends on whose ox is being gored. And when it's your ox, that's what a lot of the forgiveness passages in the New Testament in particular, refer to. It's personal, and it's the community, the church community, and it's the tribe or the family. So the forgiveness is an antidote to the other idea of revenge, which would be taken in a in a personal manner, and which was pretty much accepted procedure through much of the Old Testament history. You heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that was really to limit things so that it wasn't two eyes and three people for an eye and a whole herd of cattle for a tooth. So the question really is good, though, because it shows a social consciousness, a wide consciousness that was completely unknown or foreign to the folks in Jesus' day. And of course, communications and a lot of the things that we have today let us know about, if there were good news and about bad news. And so we're very aware of things that go on. We're very aware of things that go on. So I'm going to back off for a second from the broader question and go to the more immediate question. That is forgiveness in the sense that Jesus talks about here. There was a cartoon I saw online a while ago, and it's, Jesus is teaching, and he says, not seven times, but 70 times, seven times, another translation. And one of the disciples is saying, "Oh no, I have to forgive and do math." but again, that's not the point. The point is, forgiving is something that will benefit both the person being forgiven and the person who is forgiving. One of my favorites, as everyone around here knows, is Frederick Buechner. And he says, forgiveness means freedom. When somebody you've wronged forgives you, you're spared the dull and self-diminishing throb of a guilty conscience. When you forgive somebody who has wronged you, you're spared the dismal corrosion of bitterness and wounded pride. For both parties, forgiveness means the freedom again to be at peace inside their own skins and to be glad in each other's presence. Forgiveness is hard, even at this close-in level. Sometimes the closeness makes it even harder, I think. It really means that when we forgive someone, we give up the right to get even. We give up the right to get back at them. And we give up consequently, we give up the pain, the feeling in the gut that holds when you know you have something that you're holding against someone. Last week when we did the Lord's Prayer, that little Lord's Prayer dialogue thing, remember the poor Jane who had wronged the person who was praying, and as she was able to forgive at God's urging, she said, yeah, she felt lighter. She felt better because she had let go of the bitterness in the stomach. Sometimes it's not even necessary to go and forgive the person, you know, and tell the person, I forgive you for that. Sometimes that would cause more issues than not. But we can still forgive. And we can forgive for us. We can forgive in order to let ourselves be freed of that tension and that disappointment. And I say disappointment because we're told again and again that we're supposed to be able to forgive, and we're supposed to be able to forgive as God has forgiven us. So if we can't forgive, if I can't forgive someone, I feel bad. I mean, it really weighs on me because I'm failing. I'm failing myself, and I'm failing God. So forgiving, even at the first level, is not easy. But it can be very freeing. Forgiving doesn't also necessarily mean forgetting. Forgetting is another... Excuse me, I need to... Forgetting is a good thing, too, and everybody says forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. But I think it was Willie Nelson in a song that says that forgiving her was the easiest thing, hardest thing I ever had to do, but forgetting took a long, long time. And not to quote two country singers right in a row, but Garth Brooks says, yeah, we buried the hatchet, but we left the handle sticking out. Okay? But the important thing about not forgetting is when there has been a real wrong or a hurt done, then we owe it to ourselves not to forget so that we can avoid or fend off or whatever it happening again. In other words, we need to keep our minds open and our rememberers in place so that we can avoid walking into the same kind of trap. I don't know how many times you've said it. I've said it many times. I should have known. I should have known that was going to happen because I had been there before, and even though I had forgiven, I kind of forgot about it. And so when it happened again, I was not prepared. So in a way, the wider question of, well, there are a lot of them, whether it's ISIS or whether it's persons, you know, associated with the 9/11, the wider issue of us individually forgiving them, I think depends or relies on us having felt wounded, on our having felt the need for revenge, the need to get back. Because it's one thing, I think, to be concerned and upset and even angry, and we'll talk about those things in a second, but unless we have a need to react physically and directly, then the forgiveness that's talked about in the Bible seems not to be so relevant. Okay? We can forgive, we can, but we're not really necessarily forgiving the act. We are assigning God to take care of any retribution or any vengeance or whatever is going to happen. And for us to hold everything inside really, in a way, kind of denies God's presence and God's action in the world. When we talk about, though, about anger, and we talk about all of the things that we see around us globally, even locally, it is it's important for us to hear the other side of the, you know, of the gospel message too. Jesus says very difficult things like, love your enemies. You've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. As a matter of fact, Jesus puts such a, in the Sermon on the Mount, which is not just the Beatitudes, Jesus puts out such a set of criteria that almost any of us will fall short. Almost any of us will fall short. As a matter of fact, it's so difficult that in very public ways, some preachers have said that the Beatitudes can't apply to today, that they can't, that they're not relevant because it was such a different world. Which is probably, in a way, it's true. It is difficult, and maybe it's harder today. But we have to still consider that Jesus had something in mind when he laid these things out. He had something in mind for us that was better than those that were around them then, and that's better than those that are around us now. When 9/11 happened, it hit me quite personally because there was a young couple with their 3-year-old daughter on one of the planes, and I had done their wedding. And, the emotion, well, you can probably imagine the emotions, you know, the immense sadness, the anger, and I'm not really a person to express anger very much, but the rage, actually, at the people who perpetrated that. But the only way that I could get by it was to say, Jerry, you have to let go of that. You have to forgive in a way. You have to not hold this in you. Now, those people never knew my feelings or that I had forgiven or anything. But it relieved me, finally. It was not easy, and it took quite some time. And yet, it freed me. And it freed me then to talk with other people who had also been closely hurt by that event. When I was in Easton a few years back, Walt Everett, the Methodist pastor, his teenage son was delivering pizzas in Bridgeport, and someone shot and killed him for the $20 that he had in his pocket. And Walt, and this is one I'm not sure where I would have come down on, and Walt forgave him. And Walt visited him. And Walt talked to him in prison. And Walt went to the parole board and asked for his release. It cost Walt his marriage because his wife could not deal with what he had chosen to do in this forgiveness. It was a message to people around about forgiveness. And we've seen others, the Pope who was shot, there are several, the church that was where the gunman opened up a few months back, and the people of the church forgave them. Forgiving is hard, even when it touches you. So I think that we need to try to let go of our anger, we need to, whether we call it forgiveness or not, we need to let go of hatred and animosity. And if there is the desire to get revenge, that's different than the desire for justice, by the way. Okay? It's different than the desire for justice. If we can do that, I think we will be better off for it. We are all sinners. When we pray, forgive us, O Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us, we need to forgive him too. The Beatitudes certainly give us plenty of opportunity to consider that. And as a matter of fact, in the scripture, there's only one thing that's identified as unforgivable, and that is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure that we would have the opportunity to want to do that. I'm not sure exactly how you would do that. But that's the only thing that's listed as unforgivable. Everything else is forgivable by God of us. Even feelings we harbor against someone, even if we never can let go, even if we can never let go completely of the anger against someone, we are forgiven. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Let's all work to try to live that way, as if we are forgiven. And let our sins and our trespasses be judged by God and not by us.